Welcome to Hashtag Finance Master, a weekly show where Anders Leo Lindberg discusses the latest trends in finance and accounting with a global audience via LinkedIn audio. Recorded live, anyone can tune in and take part. Just raise your hand and share the stage. Will you join Anders next time? For now, kick back, relax, and enjoy this week's show.
I want to welcome everyone to this pilot of the Hashtag Finance Master Show, a new weekly LinkedIn audio show on LinkedIn. Let me just inform you about the rules of engagement for this show here. We are talking about the weekly newsletter Trends in Finance and Accounting. Today's topic is finance versus data and analytics. And I'll be talking about the key points in the blog post I published this morning, European time. And I'll invite people to come up on stage to share their reflections on the insights or ask questions as they relate to the blog post. I will be going through the key points in a few sections, and then I will stop to let everyone join in. Let's get started. As I mentioned, today's topic is finance versus data analytics. And it's a new series I've just launched on my LinkedIn newsletter, Trends in Finance and Accounting. It has close to 130,000 subscribers and weekly blog posts coming out every Thursday. The background for this blog post here is that I see in more and more companies, data analytics teams popping up. They've been popping up for the past 5 to 10 years. And oh, well, that's great. The challenge is you also have finance teams doing data analytics and analyzing numbers. And in many companies, what I see is that these teams are conflicting. They're not working towards the same goal. In some companies, even the data analytics team is sitting outside the finance function, working for business leaders, analyzing stuff. Hopefully they're doing good things, but the finance team is also sitting analyzing stuff. And if we don't combine forces, we're going to leave value on the table. So we need these teams to be working together. If they're not, we won't be realizing the benefits that we need to have as a company. So that's the background story. And I gotta say, you know, the finance function is becoming better at data analytics all the time, but I also see a thriving data analytics community on the side. If you look at what's going on in LinkedIn, there's a lot of data analytics, let's say thought leaders out there that are doing great, and they're getting lots of followers and lots of excitement around this topic. We're confirming data science here as well, and things go nuts. If you ask finance professionals if they should learn to code, 67% say yes, and they want to learn about R and Python and become data scientists, all of them. There's a massive excitement around this new field here. It's probably also why a lot of professionals are going in this direction rather than staying inside of finance. However, if you combine the skill sets of finance and data analytics, you get something that is very powerful, unparalleled, you can say, in terms of value creation within organizations. And when you understand these two distinct, differently disciplines, you can see that they are basically two sides of the same coin. And combining them, you get an immensely powerful engine room in the company. So in this article series that's coming up over the next coming weeks, I'm going to explore this topic in further detail. Why it is that these two teams are not working better together? Do we have examples of where they are working better together? And I'll interview a few analytics leaders to see how do they see this potential battle playing out and how can we get them to better work together? Because we need to harness this potential that we see from finance and data analytics, because it's all about creating insight. Insight is the key currency to making better decisions. And if we combine these forces, we'll see a lot more insights being developed in companies. Because there is an increasing focus on data, and there has been for the past decade, but the amounts of data, they just keep increasing. Big data has been a topic for a long time as well. So if we cannot get the most value out of the data we have in organizations, we cannot boost the value creation. We cannot be a catalyst for improved decision-making. So that's really the basis for writing this article series. That's the basis for the show today. And I'm just curious, at least I'll give people a chance to raise their hands and come up on stage and say, do you agree with the premises that there is potentially a battle going on? Or do you see finance and data analytics teams working closely together? So feel free to raise hand and come up on stage. I can see one person is asked to speak here, so we'll bring Eric up on stage. Eric, welcome to the stage. Feel free to unmute and share your thoughts on this potential battle that might be going on.
Yeah, I would agree that there sometimes is that battle. Finance is involved in so much more these days. And I was personally given the responsibility to come up with our business intelligence strategy. But there's still some disagreements as to essentially who should be the face to the business in order to understand their analytical needs between, I call it IT or the analytics department, whatever you want to. I'm essentially the analytics department. And I'm personally biased, and I believe that my group is probably best positioned to understand the needs of the business and then translate their objectives to data and turn that into whatever it is. It doesn't really matter to me what the analytics platform is. It's really about providing those analytics and meeting business objectives. So if there's a battle, I think it's more who owns it from the business side and kind of who manages the front end, the programming and whatever. But again, I'm biased because I'm finance and I think we're best suited.
Thanks a lot for those insights, Eric. And I can't help but say, of course, I'm biased as well, right? Being a finance professional and helping out finance professionals in what I do for a living. So I also feel it's best placed in the finance function. I even wrote an article all the way back in 2000, and I think it was 15, where I said that finance should become the analytics powerhouse of the company. And it hasn't really happened so much so far. But it's not a capability issue per se. I think finance is good as analyzing numbers. Maybe we don't have a deep data science capability, and I don't know if we should develop that, but I just see that organizationally speaking, it should be housed under the same platform, in this case, the CFO, in order to ensure we use the resources most efficiently. And then, of course, yes, we need IT to play into it. We need business leaders to be a part of it. And then it is on the finance team to deliver. If we don't deliver any useful insights, and later on, of course, be able to influence business leaders with these insights, then we fail. Then we have not proved that we are the right owners of the data analytics efforts in the company. I agree organizationally that that's probably where the battle is, not necessarily whether we have the capability to analyze stuff or not.
I completely agree with you, Anders, that we should be held accountable. If we're going to own it, we have to prove that we were the right organization. And I wouldn't want to have anything that is under me that I'm not measured on, because I don't know if I'm being successful.
Makes good sense, Eric. So we'll just continue with some of the key insights from today's article here. And I'm just going to say, you know, this is the hashtag Finance Master show, the pilot. Today's topic is finance versus data analytics. We'll be digging deeper into this topic over the coming weeks. This will be a weekly show to start out with. If all goes well, we will expand it to twice a week because we have two newsletters running. And the other is, here's the future of FP&A and business partnering, where we are digging more into some niche topics. But why is it that data is such a big thing for companies? And why is it that we see teams popping up all over the place? And why is this not housed in finance, at least in some companies? And I guess historically, I think everyone can agree that it often makes sense that it should be in finance, but maybe the finance teams as a general trend hasn't delivered the insights that we're looking for. And that's probably why you see business leaders set up these teams to support them, because they want finance to do this. And if finance doesn't, they will find ways of doing this. But obviously the whole data thing, it just keeps expanding. And then there are a lot of reasons behind that. One is that everything can be quantified, or even soft behavioral items can be quantified nowadays. So we are trying to rationalize everything that's going on in the company. I think that's the starting point. The second bit is, you can call it sensing technologies or Internet of Things, right? That you put a sensor on everything and then you get data. And you don't just get one data point, you get continuous data points all throughout the operational life of this asset. I used to work in shipping, where we also started to put sensors on the containers and on the vessels, and you can know everything that was going on down to a reefer container. So that's a cooling container. You can monitor the temperature of probably the exact place of where your goods was placed in that container. And so you get data from all over the place from these centers. Then there's something around granularity. When you can get data from the smallest part of your business, it, of course, can be very, very powerful, because you can suddenly see everything that's going on at every detailed level of your company, which can be both a blessing and a curse, of course. And then the last bit we discussed in today's article was around the falling cost of computation. So actually being able to process all this data is becoming easier by the day, while, of course, the volume also increases. So now it's actually possible to have this almost at the tip of your fingertip on your mobile device. You have access to all this data, maybe not every all data points you have in the company, but certainly everything you need to know from your area can be made available. So these 4 points just really pushes this whole development of business leaders saying, well, we have all this data available. We've known that for a long time. Now we know how to harness it. Can someone please help me get the insights out of it? And if that's not finance, I'm going to set up my own team to get this done. And then we have the whole mess started. Again, just stopping here for a quick pause and say, what trends are you seeing out there in terms of the whole data analytics space booming these years? Are we able to harness the power of that, or are we still just really getting started? Feel free to raise your hand, come up on stage and share your thoughts on that. And Eric, of course, being on stage already, you're also welcome to share your thoughts.
Okay, here we go. I think we're sort of at the forefront. This goes back a long ways. Like, I came from a Fortune 500 company that developed a pretty good customer-facing analytics portal. And they were going through certain stages and they wanted to get to predictive analytics. So I would say where we are today, we're nowhere near that, but we don't need it yet. We have to cover the basics. We're still trying to identify, and I got a pretty good vision about how to link data between our different service delivery models, the ERP, so many different things that I've got a year's worth of work just to get mature on what we have today and making those links. I mean, I read about this stuff all the time, but we're nowhere near there. So I got to do the 80% first before I can move up the value chain.
Yeah. And I think that's something that many finance and FP&A teams are seeing, right? That they spend so much time working on the base data that there's really no time to, even if you come up with some insights, what do you do with it? Because you're almost like amazed that it happened. I finally sit with some insights here after I've spent 70 or 80% of my time working with all the data. I think that's definitely a big challenge for many finance professionals, that you just don't have the bandwidth to do what you know is the right thing to do. And finance has been on an efficiency track for many years, where resources have been cut and cut for many different reasons. And it doesn't mean that the need has gone away. So because finance doesn't have time, and maybe business leaders have been told this a few times over, they just set up their own team. So I think that makes sense.
Oh, absolutely. And I'll add to that, if you're in the weeds all the time and you have a ton of manual processes, that's something you probably need to address first so that your analysts can get more strategic. And I'm in the process right now. I've got a guy that I'd like to bring into the organization that essentially kind of a process automation guru, using tools like Alteryx or Microsoft, the Power Apps. I'm trying to think their version of it. But the more that we can take all that manual work off of our plates, the better, so that we can focus on the analytics strategy and lots of other strategies and supporting those. We got to get that stuff out of the way before we can, like I said, get into the really, really cool stuff. And we want to. We just got to get all that stuff off of our plates so we can move up.
Yeah. And maybe because it's, of course, been a trending topic for many years that we need to get these things off our plate. And I think if you look at transformation strategies for the finance function, it's, if you go 5 years back, the plan probably looked the same as it would look today if you make it again. So what do you see as some of the 1, 2, max 3 major roadblocks for this actually happening? What do we need to do differently?
Boy. So I think it's really getting, the biggest major roadblock for me is probably just getting away from those kind of tactical battles that you're going to have every single day. And they're never going to end. And it's really getting executive sponsorship that understands that and will allow you to carve out time. Now, I set up a meeting with my boss, the CFO, to just work on one project and said, I'm not going to work on anything else until we solve that. So kind of starts with just laying out your objectives and then pushing back a bit and say, no, we have to tackle the most important things first, and maybe even identify different resources that are better handled to kind of handle that transactional and tactical stuff so that finance and who we support can get more strategic. So for me, it's really, the battle is time. It really is. And it's not support, and it's not, nobody else in the organization is a hindrance except for our willingness to accept any single thing that is needed all the time.
I think that makes perfect sense, Eric. I think you're never going to get more than your top three priorities done. If you have 10 priorities and you try to work on all of them, you get nothing done. Top two, three priorities is what you're going to get done. We work with a lot of companies in terms of helping them become better at business partnering, which should also, if you want to really move on this, it's a long-term project. But if you have to do a lot of other projects on the side or other priorities, we often say to companies, we hear you that you want to do this, but you're not going to do it well until you have cleared these other priorities. So let's talk in a year or two's time and see where you're at. And then maybe that's the good time to become better business partner. So if today you want to become better at data analytics, but you're still struggling with some forecasting processes and just getting some base level data into a dashboard, then maybe do that first and then get serious about data analytics afterwards. But you have to be recognized that then business leaders might go out and set up their own teams while you do this. So it's not an easy choice to make. Definitely not. So just going into the last piece of the insights from today's blog post here. And then afterwards, again, if you have some reflections on the blog post or the last pieces here, feel free to raise your hand and come up on stage. We'll also open up for a general Q&A on today's topic. So you can also come up and ask any questions that you may have. So I started out by saying that the finance professionals, they really want to get into the data analytics space. 67% wants to learn to code. And I think it's like half of those, they want to learn like R or Python. So not just your basic SQL, but something a bit more advanced. Let's put it like that. So the interest for finance professionals to learn these skills is definitely there. So basic skills in data science analytics is becoming fundamental requirements for the modern finance professional. I'm not saying everyone should learn to code, but you definitely understand what's going on so you can be that bridge or interface towards data analytics people. Because if you don't understand each other, we're certainly not going to be able to work well together. So I think it's not for everyone in finance to become a data scientist. I think there is specialists really working on that and really honing their skills in that area. But understand what they're doing so you can talk together, so we can collaborate better. Because these teams, they are, as we also say in the article, they are better together. When you're fighting, when you're not working in a aligned way, it's not really benefiting anyone. So in this series here, we'll really dig deeper into this topic. And I think one of the first maybe misunderstandings is that finance is supposed to look at financial data, and then we set up a different team to look at the non-financial data. And to me, that's a big failure. Finance teams, yes, they have the root in the financial data, but they should apply those same skills they use for their financial analysis to do business analysis. Look at all the business data that's available and say, how is this business data predicting the financial outcomes that we can expect the next 3-6 months down the line? And how can we work with the insights from the business data combined with the financial data to inform decision-making? I think it's only when we combine the business and finance data sources that we get something that's truly powerful. And honestly, finance team is the only team that can do this, obviously, because financials, they're not just thrown around and everyone can just work with it necessarily. So I think that puts finance in a strong position already. We have the analytical skills. We're at the table to make decisions. We have the cross-value chain perspective. So I think finance is in a great place to get this done and work together with data analytics teams, bring it under the CFO umbrella, and then let's work in an aligned way to get this done. And I think those were the last insights from today's blog post. And we have around 5 minutes left of today's show. So I really want to invite people to the stage either to share your reflections on today's show or ask any questions you have in terms of the data and analytics space versus the finance space. So feel free to come up on stage, ask a question or share perspectives. And we should be getting Steve up on stage now. Steve, welcome to the stage. It's great to have you here. Feel free to share a question or perspectives on today's topic.
Yeah, just to add to the comments I've heard so far. For me, I think data and analytics, there's a number of things that have to happen. It definitely has to move out of being seen as part of the IT function. It really should be business facing. And then if it's not directly reporting to the CFO, it should certainly have a dotted line. I mean, part of it, to your point about data integration and the ability to address multiple use cases, is the finance are at the table and they're voicing the same opinion. So they're saying, okay, we need to have the ability to, say, integrate marketing data with our finance data so we can better serve, as a business partner, other functions. And I think that's a key piece. So even if they don't outright have responsibility for a data and analytics function, clearly there's a dotted line into them, I would think.
Absolutely. And great insights there, Stephen. I think you mentioned it as well, right, Eric, that if it sits in IT, and I have nothing against IT, right? They have their own right in the company. We definitely need those, but it should be owned by the business, you can say. And you should probably be owned by someone that spans across the business, so that marketing doesn't have their own analytics team, and sales has, and operations has, and all the other teams have their own analytics teams, because it defeats the purpose of, let's spend our resources where they make most sense. Sometimes that might be marketing, other times that might be an operation. But if everyone else is sub-optimizing, we're certainly not working in an aligned way. So that's why I think it probably should sit in finance. But of course, cases can be made for different functions as well. But certainly not in IT, because IT is enabling this. I mean, there's a lot of tools and systems, I'm sure, that needs to be used to get this done. But they'll need input from God knows everyone in the company to get anything useful done in terms of developing insights. I don't think that that's necessarily their role. So great insights there, Steve. Thanks for sharing that. Anyone else wants to come up on stage, share a perspective, or ask a question on the topic of finance versus data and analytics? Feel free to raise your hand. Yep. Kennedy, welcome on stage.
All right. How is everybody doing?
We are doing well. Thank you.
This is a really wonderful session, and I've really learned a lot. I'm a young financial analyst. So what kind of tools can I learn better?
You are unfortunately breaking up, Kennedy, so it's a bit difficult to hear the question. Something around some tools that you should learn?
I can try and chime in on that one a little bit, Anders. I think there's a learning journey here. There's a spectrum. And I think you can do a lot as a starter with Excel. And then as you develop your use cases and they stand up to some hypothesis testing, then you've got more of a firmer basis, shall we say, to move on to other things, be that of SQL and then the stepping stones into Python. Or you don't necessarily have to jump into looking at it from the technical tools perspective, is looking at it more like an IT person rather than saying, what's the business problem I'm trying to address? The tools are secondary. It's the methodology that you have in terms of how you address the business problem, I think.
That is such a good point, Steve. There are some tools that are better than others. Everybody needs to understand Excel. But I hear all the time, oh, this technology is going to make us that much better. It's not the technology, it's the analyst's ability to take in data and produce insights. I think Kennedy might have also been asking for tips. And all I wanted to say is follow these guys, follow Anders, follow Steve. I see Asif's on here, Asif Masani. I see Paul Barnhurst. I see several others that I follow. And that can be one of the best things that you can do, is just kind of understand what these guys are putting out there. I learn a ton just by following folks. I post very little of my own, even though I've got a ton to post, because I don't want to miss anything. And every day I wake up and I see you guys post something and I'm like, wow, okay. And that's just been a tremendous benefit to me. But if you need Excel skills, if you need Power BI or whatever it is, there are training tools that are out there that are pretty cheap. And they're a good place to start. But I think just following guys that have done this, that have the insight, is the best place to be.
Thanks a lot, Eric, for that feedback. And also thanks, Steve, for the great perspectives added here. And I think on that note, I'll maybe just make a final comment and then we'll wrap up today's show. Basically, it's not the tools. It's not the processes necessarily. Yes, that can be a bit annoying sometimes, but it's the mindset. I've asked multiple times, people, what is blocking us, or what's the biggest barrier for creating that nice version of the future of finance that we're all looking for? And 60%, and now I've done it twice, say it's the mindset. If we don't change that mindset first, then we're not going to get anything done. And that's not necessarily an easy thing to do. We even have an ebook also talking about that. Maybe that can be a great topic for another session. But we're 2 minutes past time here, so I'm sorry I can't let Sian come up on stage. I know you're waiting here as well. But I want to give a big thanks to Eric and Steve for coming up here and sharing your thoughts and perspectives. Thanks a lot, Kennedy, for coming up and asking a question. Truly appreciate that. This was the pilot of the Hashtag Finance Master show that we expect to air every week on Thursdays. Maybe it will even come twice a week also on Mondays if this turns into a great success. We have recorded today's show, turning into a podcast that will be released on the usual channels as well for those that cannot be with us live. So we're really excited about this, and it wouldn't be possible without you guys on board, listening in, sharing your thoughts. I think it's going to be great. So thanks a lot, everyone, for today, and hope to see you again next week.
You've been listening to Hashtag Finance Master, a weekly show recorded live on LinkedIn Audio. Don't forget to subscribe to stay updated on the latest trends in finance and accounting. And why not join Anders every Thursday on LinkedIn to share your own views and appear in the next episode?